The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Bible Information Brokers. We are here to answer your open and honest Bible questions from a biblical perspective. My name is Eric Stanton. I am here with, actually telephonically, with Professor Craig Hawkins and Daryl Easy D. Fulton. And I want to ask Ted, hang on just a couple of more minutes. Ted has a question about the meek inheriting the earth. But before we go to the phone call, I want to ask Professor Hawkins, there's an important message that you have to give, that especially in these times with all that's going on in the world with in Israel and with the, you know, the Russian thing with Ukraine. There's a message that people need to hear. If you can talk about that for a minute, Craig, we'd appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Eric. Thank you very much. I mean, it's always a good time to talk about getting right with God, being right with God. But yeah, absolutely. You think of what's going on in the world, even just America, uncertainty and economic issues and difficulties for many people, let alone in the Middle East and with Israel and the surrounding nations and what's going on, and the Ukraine, as you've pointed out. Indeed, I was had the pleasure of teaching today and dealing with the issue of salvation. And I know for some that sounds like a religious, esoteric, some type of mysterious teaching thing, that, and especially for what are called nons, people who don't even believe in a God or anything like that. Sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook. Well, but here's something that's not gobbledygook. You're going to die. You don't know where you came from, and you may just think it's just blind chance and there is no reason to it. I would just have to take exception with that, given what's called in science the anthropic principle. And looks like life was designed to happen. The odds of it happening are just so minuscule. Like, I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's way over 10 to the 50th power, which is basically technically impossible. But Dale, to the point, there's a God, and Eric, there's a God who made us, and we were made for fellowship with him. And there is meaning, significance, and purpose to have. And the reality is, should the Lord Jesus Christ tarry, everyone's going to die. There's still one per customer, and you will meet God. You will face God, whether you believe in that being or not. You will end up in his presence and give an account of your life and what you did and how you lived. And this isn't some type of guilt trip, and I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just like reality. It's like going to the doctor, they say, man, you've got a clogged artery or something like that. I mean, or you need a pacemaker. Your heart is, your blood pressure is dangerously low or otherwise. That's not a fear tactic. That's a reality tactic. Somebody has some fear to it. The wise person might take that pretty seriously and say something needs to be done. But, you know, here's the deal. For people who believe in God or afterlife or what have you, most people think they save themselves, that, well, I'm not that bad, or, well, you know, I'm pretty good. I have more works than bad works. Or they think they're divine, or potentially so, as in with Hinduism and many other Eastern religions. And I'm sorry, with all due respect, those are the wrong answers. There is a God. You are not he. And you're going to be accountable to him. And you can't get into heaven by your good works, certainly because you're divine, because you're not. Just let me talk to your spouse and your friends. We'll figure that out real quickly. Get the evidence, I should say, for that, that you're not. Excuse me. But also, we're not good enough. God's standard is perfection. The wise person acknowledges their need of God. That's not a weakness. That's a strength. When you realize you can't do something, it's just like if you're not a great financial planner, then you turn it over to someone who is to plan for retirement. It's silly to think you're going to white-knuckle some ride to do it when you know you can't. You're not good at it. Well, you can't save yourself, my friend. You need to trust in Christ. Believe on him and him alone as your Lord and Savior. Submit to him. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. It's a today to acknowledge you're not perfect you're in need of God's grace, love, mercy, and favor. Ask for forgiveness and thank him for what he's done. And know that he gives to you eternal life. Not just longevity, but the quality of life. The life you were made for, life that is truly life. Life and that more abundantly, as John 10:10 says, by trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day, right now is the time to get right with God by appropriating, by believing in what he's done for you and thanking him for it.
Indeed, indeed. PCH, thank you very much, brother, for that gospel. And that's just good news that comes out of bad news, but the answer is in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join this broadcast, we're answering questions, not only biblical questions, but we're asking questions about life and the various things that may be going on. Or even in your life, you may have went to a Bible study, you went to church, things are happening in your life like they are happening in mine, and subject matters come up that really have a biblical base. If you just kind of listen to what people are saying and seeing where they are, it really gets down to just what Craig said. Are you going to believe? And what is it that you're going to believe? So you better determine that you are believing the correct thing. So please contact us if you're out there listening and you want to join in the broadcast and ask a question at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number to call Eric right now. He's doing quadruple duty and doing a fine job, if I may say so myself, and I just did. So call him, 888-995-5552. All the other formats we have are these, the platforms that we have, Truth Social, Facebook, Tweet, Messenger. The address is Bible Info Brokers. And please, if you're on the various platforms, click the share button if they have one and let people know that you're listening to the Bible Information Brokers and share that information with them. Also, if you want to send us an email question, you can do so by putting in the address box livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com, or we receive a question by way of email. And that's how we can do it. Now, Eric, you said you have Ted on the line. We don't want to keep our listeners on too long, so let's bring Ted on and see what his question is, if I got the name correct.
Yes, it's our friend Ted, City of Angels, and let me see if I can do this right here. Ted, are you there?
Yes, sir, Ted, City of the Angels. Right. How you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Ted, how you
doing? How's everything? Good, good. I have a question. Now, if the meek shall inherit the earth, and that's meaning, you know, the Christians, if interrupt me if I'm wrong, that's how I understand it. You know, we have a lot of, you know, indigenous people here that still have resentments of the land being taken from them. But if we're going on biblical terms, if the meek shall inherit the earth, we know, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the original indigenous people were sacrificing their children, just like the pagans and just like everybody else around the world. And to claim that they somehow own the land when they're obviously not operating the way God wants them to operate, and that therefore, just like when I was at Dodger Stadium, I ran into an indigenous person that was a direct a descendant of Geronimo, and he said he's seen angels around me, and he was an agnostic, and he couldn't get enough of me, and I blessed him, and I told him, I said, you know, that your elders talked about people coming from all over the world to come to this land, the Americas, and I told him the significance of the monarch butterfly, and he said Geronimo had monarch butterflies around him all the time. So I enlightened him as much as I could. So because of all the resentments and what's going on and the accusations, like I've heard on radio stations where the Mexican people still have a resentment that we have enslaved everybody when actually Mexico was enslaving the Apache Indians, and so on. Like the indigenous people never gave it up to Mexico. So there's a lot of hypocritical statements is what I've been hearing. You know, you can't call people enslavers when actually Mexico enslaved indigenous people back in Mexico City, like the Apaches and whatever They never gave the land. So having said all that, that was a lot out of my mouth. Can I hear some takes on yours?
BCA, what says you, brother, about this? Because this goes even into what's happening in Israel as well.
Well, this is tough stuff, and I'm not saying that makes it right, but slavery has been almost universally practiced around the world from time immemorial. Slavery, man's inhumanity to man. Forget what we do to, you know, dogs and other animals. I mean, what we do to humans is just is barbaric. And there has been. And so often, I mean, the point you're making that people don't want to hear, it's just like pointing out again, and I'm not trying to justify any slavery, but there were a number of blacks who owned black slaves. That's a fact. And there is evidence, especially in the Middle East, of whites being enslaved. And I mean significant numbers. I don't mean 10, 15, 20, 100 or whatever. I mean, man's inhumanity knows no bounds. We constantly disrespect the idea that there is some, you know, time when everybody kumbaya got along and lived happily ever after. It's just not true. And there are spiritual issues. I'm not saying, though, hasn't been land grabbing and some people haven't been ripped off. But in the kingdom of God, God's going to be assigning basically who gets what and property or otherwise. And it will be completely fair. I'm not trying to justify when land has been taken forcibly or people have been cheated out of it or tricked out of it. But sometimes I would say some things are overcalled. And then, as you're pointing out, people are not being honest about that and talking about how often groups that were oppressed often were oppressing others before them. But it's wrong, of course, because it's happening to me and my people. But I'm okay to do that to others. And I would even say, I want to be honest, I still think America is a great nation and I'd rather live here than elsewhere, but we do some things that are pretty bad and we have, and I don't want to justify that. That's why the beauty is of giving it to God ultimately and saying, Lord, make it right. Well, we can't do it. You make it right. And this isn't some cop out, but almost any time somebody wants to partition something or, you know, rezone it or whatever term you want to use, they always do it to their favor. They always do it to their benefit. And so these are significant issues. That's the beauty of heaven to me. I teach at a law school, one of the things I do, and I teach human rights and jurisprudence, and in that we deal a lot with the concept of justice. A lot of people talk about justice, but I think they can spell it, but I'm not sure they really have any idea what it means. And so what is just? What is fair? What are human rights? What are people entitled to? And how ought we to treat one another? And so, Ted, you're bringing up some really significant and important issues and things I think we need to talk a lot more about. But we need to come clean, you know, I would say almost all ethnic groups. They've all been involved in harming or hurting others. This idea, again, they just live peaceably. I mean, it's not reality. And inevitably, somebody got the short end of the stick. Some group, for whatever reason, was deemed inferior, and they were often mistreated, if not full-on subjected or enslaved.
Amen. Yes. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Janet. I'm sorry, Janet, say it again? Yeah.
Nope, I just said amen. That was everything I needed to hear.
Well, we appreciate your call as usual, brother man, and you know, keep doing your sports thing. You know, I'm at the sports event now, and it's just tremendous to see how the world responds to things like sports. And I was just saying to one of the sports guys here, and I think their parents was a teacher or something like that, and just how the difference that we pay our teachers as changing the minds and lives of people. And one guy was saying how he actually in his retirement follows teachers around. I'm not teachers. He follows his students around the various parts of the world that they may be because he has that privilege to do so. And they are so pleased to see him because of the type of teacher he was. And I just, you know, when you meet people, you have an opportunity to learn how they are. And then maybe if we really try to understand who we are as people, that we can maybe get along and some of this less slavery and less fighting will happen. but it's not going to happen just simply, but it will happen if we put forth the effort. But yet, Christ is the ultimate answer for it all. Thank you very much, Ted, for your phone call, brother.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Living Body Word Ministries. Give Eric a call. It's 888-995-5552. Hey, that's not me, Craig. You know, I didn't do that because I don't have the ability. But 888-995-5552. Everyone else, Bible Info Brokers for the platforms, Facebook, Tweet Messenger, and Truth Social. And if you want to send us an email question, by all means, livebyword@aol.com. Eric, we defer to you. I mean, you hung up on somebody. It wasn't me. Do we have any callers that called in?
We do not have any callers now, so I'm going to give the number out again.
Okay.
Even though you just did, but it's 888-995-5552. Maybe it'll help if I make it a little easier for them and say 888-995-KKLA. So, gentlemen, with that, is there anything that's on your mind that you want to talk about at this time?
Well, there's quite a few things on my mind at PCH. I know that, you know, we have things going on in our life, but, again, we want to honor the call, so folks take advantage of that. Looking at some of the people that may have responded, and they did respond to some of the Bible reading that I put up, and I just want to give a couple of quick commercials for us that we have. If you go to our website at Bible Info Brokers, BibleInfoBrokers.com, you'll be able to see right on the front page about a Bible study that Brother Sal is having for us on Zoom. And please click that information, get the information from Sal. Join in on that Bible study, folks, because, Craig, here's the bottom line. I actually reference you, PCH, out here in Miami, so you're getting statewide recognition, at least through me, about the idea that you teach jurisprudence, you teach lawyers, you teach about ethics and things like that, because that young lady I was talking to and her coach, she went from tennis to golf, and her golf pro coach was there. We were talking about the rules of golf, the rules of various sports. And I made the comment, like I think I made before, and I will continue to make it, that golf, if God created a sport that he wants to teach people biblical lessons without just, say, reading the Bible, it would be in the game of golf. And I'll just say it for this particular reason. The number one reason I say that, PCH, and listening audience, is because we have to marshal ourselves. In any game that you watch, like basketball, football, something like that, like you need a referee out there, because if you didn't have a referee, it would be total chaos. I know I referee these sports. But in golf, you're actually supposed to marshal yourself. Tennis is close, but golf is right on point. And like the Bible tells us, PCH, to what? To examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Well, you have to examine yourself to see if you really did what is accurate, because you're not playing against anybody. You're playing against that world, which is a golf course. And in the life, we're dealing with the world. We're dealing with people in it. But in that sport, we are to marshal ourselves, and we are told in the Bible to consider if we're in the faith and to, check ourselves out with fear and trembling to make sure we are. And that gospel message you gave is that serious, because it has eternal consequences. So, PCH, my point in question was the young lady, someone told her she should be a lawyer because the way she was very articulate and everything, but some of the things she was saying was like from a 17-year-old transitioning in life, trying to figure it all out. And she asked me this question, and she kept going to this reference about two people loving each other. What's the problem if they love each other and in the same sex? So I'm going to throw that to you, PCH. I gave her my answer, but I want to see if it was consistent with what you may have told her.
Well, it's not a question of can people love and care about each other, but it's a question of it goes back to issues of origin and design. Now, if you don't believe in God, then we're just animals. Do whatever you want. Knock yourself out. If Jacques Lacan or other John Money or Alfred Kinsey or other sexologists who were or approved of pedophilia, people can check it out. Don't take my word for it. If you believe that you're just an animal, then came about through evolution, well, then you can do it. Again, you can do whatever you want. There is no nature. So, yeah, so I get the part about being non-binary and all that and what have you. But if there is a God,
and there is a God of the Bible, and he created us the way it says he did, and he has an intent or a purpose. We use the Greek word, two words, teleos or telos. Telos, T-E-L-O-S, transliterated. It means the end or finish. Teleos is related to that when it means what's the end. It means the goal or purpose. For what ends, we used to say, what goal or what purpose are you doing this? And this view, the humans, like Aristotle believed this, Plato, Socrates, Seneca, Cicero, and on the list goes, that there's a purpose. There is the eudaimonia, there is well-being that comes from living the life that is appropriate for a human being. And the biblical view is God made us male and female, number one, not a kaleidoscope of colors or a radical continuum or non-binary-ness. He made a male or female, and he designed marriage a certain way. And so you can do whatever you want, but there's consequences. I could use, if I had a Rolex watch, I don't, but if I used it as a hammer, I could do that. If I own it, it's mine. That's not the smartest move, because that's not what it was made for. So you have to ask, were humans made? What were we made for? You know, a greater purpose. And if there is a God, and what is God's view of this? So, look, I defend people legally their right to do all kinds of things, even though I don't agree with them. Just like free speech, I believe people have a right to have free speech other than yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. If there's a fire, of course you can yell. It's things like that. But I also have a right. I have a right and a privilege to disagree respectfully and civilly and say that's not the way God made us. That's not the way it intends. That's not how the plumbing works, and it's pretty obvious. And there's just a lot of hypocrisy with even the whole trans movement, and now with the young kids under 18 trying to get them surgeries or medications with drugs that have irreversible effects that will alter them and never allow them to should they want to go back to the sex that they were, or gender. We can use the various terms here. There's all kinds of problems with what's going on, Daryl, and it's a question of what were humans made for, and what's the purpose. I mean, because somebody wants something or desires something doesn't mean it's good for them. There's people, I'm going to be blunt, with all kinds of fetishes and weird stuff that they desire things that are not good for them. I've seen people, like, there's a program on that with somebody, and she ate toilet paper. I mean, and I don't mean a little bit, a lot of it. And you're just like, well, you can do it, but that's not healthy. That's not good for you. I mean, so we have to distinguish what a person says they want or what they think will make them happy versus what really does, and then having order in society and promoting what's really good for people, particularly for children.
PCA, it sounds like you were right there in the building, not because I use all the very good language that you use, but here's one of the things, the last thing you just said is one of the things I'll throw back at you that she came up with, and we were talking about, I told her she would learn about the word context. And I told her that people were trying to encourage her, yeah, you're going to be a lawyer. I said, if she was a lawyer and she was in my court with my judges I used to work with, she would be sanctioned by all the way that she's thinking. And the guy looked at me, well, that's kind of cruel. I said, no, we want to, this young lady is going to be a young adult next year, and she's going to have to deal with this stuff. She asked a question. She said, listen, when you were talking about context, you were talking about ethics. And then she asked me, she said, listen, what if I tell you I have a demon in my arm? And this is literally what she said. She said, if I have a demon in my arm and I need you to cut my arm off, will you cut my arm off? Because even though you may not believe in the demons, would you cut my arm off? Because I'm telling you, I have demons in my arm, and if you don't cut my arm off in 30 seconds, they will destroy me. What are you going to do? That's what she put to me. PCA, what should I have answered her?
I would say no. We believe in evidence in that. Look, I'll give you an example. There's cases like this, and there are people literally who are going into, like, orthopedic surgeons and others and saying, look, I want you to amputate my limbs, a limb or limbs, like my, remove my arms or my hand. It can be one or both, what have you. And the reason is because they don't feel whole. They feel that they are being hindered. They can never truly be fulfilled and experience life as they believe they should richly unless you remove. And I'm talking about a perfectly good limb. I'm not talking about something where there's some, you know, cancer in it or something else.
Right, right.
It's completely healthy. You have to talk about professional responsibility. And actually, there's cases now where people are coming in wanting this done, and when the doctor says no, they want to sue them, saying that I have a right to this. And so, because people think you have a right for everything. But let me give you an example that maybe is a little clearer, at least to see the difficulty with it. You're a doctor, and somebody comes in, and it seems very self-evident from what the clothing they're wearing that they're anorexic. They're extremely underweight. I mean, you examine them and their rib cage is showing, and all the signs that are there that they are basically starving themselves. And then the person says to you, I would like you to prescribe a prescription level laxative. Because I think I'm actually heavy, or, well, I know I'm not heavy, but I need to be thinner, and I will never experience life and be whole and fulfilled unless I can be thinner. But you know that, let's say it's a she in this case, or use any pronoun you want, this person is already in danger of dying. Why? Because of organ failure, livers, your liver, kidney, what have you, the kidneys, because of this. I think of like someone years ago, Karen Carpenter, who died of anorexia. The point was, and so they believe they're still not thin enough, and they won't be happy and fulfilled and content, and this brings them meaning, purpose, significance, and fulfillment in life. And but you know, if you do this, it's going to lead to their death. Now the question is, professionally and legally / morally, what is your obligation to do? So it used to be if somebody came in and said, "Man, I'm pulling my hair out," you'd say you get out the DSM manual and say, "Well, you know, I think you've got some issues here." Now somebody comes in and wants perfectly healthy limbs. It's at least if a doctor is not willing to do it, they're at least entertaining it or having to be careful how they respond. At least they get sued because people are saying that I need this. Or here's the reverse. You have people who are morbidly overweight, obese, and they're just saying that you guys, people who talk like that are just haters and are ableist, would be one term they would use. And so, you know, I've seen doctors on their sites and they say, no, look, here's heart, a stroke, heart condition, a heart attack, a stroke, all these health risks that go with being X amount of pounds over, you know, healthy weight. And then the other folks are just pushing back and saying, no, this is just your phobia and you're a hater and you're being mean to us. And so you have to look at, to me, the scientific evidence. So a long answer, somebody came in, if I'm a medical doctor and particularly a surgeon, and they want me to remove what looks like otherwise is a perfectly good limb because they have a demon in it, of course, I would refer them to psychological counseling. I mean, or otherwise, and it would be irresponsible. I would argue immoral for me to operate or remove a perfectly good limb because that person believed that it had a demon living in it or whatever other unusual view. People believe all kinds of things, and they think all kinds of things are going to make them happy. Look, if people have young kids up, like it's late, I can't imagine that, but if they do, you probably don't want them to hear this. But there's the whole animal rights movement, and I don't just mean animal rights in the sense of giving the animal the right, if in the typical sense, but one example, this is a form of what's called speciesism, and that is the view that people say, you know, why can't I marry my dog? Why can't I have a love relationship? I love my dog. I love my cat. And why can't I not only be married to it, but have relations? By the way, people go, oh, this is crazy. You're just being weird. No, go to the Netherlands. It's already going on, my friend. Where have you been living? The Netherlands is already doing this. Just like you can go to the red light or brothel districts, you can go to places where you can have relations with animals. So it's here. It's not, this isn't some future, you know, hype. This is reality. And they could say, well, but it makes me feel whole. I love this animal. The animal loves me. So you have to ask, what's going on here? Just because somebody wants something or says something, they need it or they love it, doesn't make it right. And some people are unhealthy, and there are forms of conduct that are simply are wrong, and they're unhealthy in every way, shape, and form. I mean, an example, a little biologically or cisgender, born a female and believes they want to become a male, and they're like 12 years old. And then those arguing they should be given medications and or surgery, including mastectomy, to bring their biology in line as much as possible with their gender, if you will, or their preference. But here's the thing. At 12 years old, people are in upheaval. I mean, what do kids know? In many places still, you can't even get an aspirin without parental permission if you're under 18 or what have you. And they want to give them drugs that have irreversible effects and or literally surgeries that will be irreversible. And look, you know what? If you're 24, 25, knock yourself out. Do what you want to do. I'm not here to police you. I'll tell you my view on it. You ask, and you probably won't, but I'm not a hater. I'm not here to make your life miserable. Do what you want. But when you have kids, 10, 12, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, being given these things and saying that you're not loving them and not supporting them, I believe we're going to see a generation of kids that are total pushback of like, and it's already happened. People like Chloe Cohen and others who've had these operations and or drugs given to them, and now it's irreversible, and they realize that they were just confused, and that some of it through financial benefit, medical groups gave them advice that was totally bad for them, and now it's irreversible. What do you do with a person like that? You can sue, but someone's going to be pretty ticked off. You gave me bad advice, and it's irreversible. You've ruined my whole life. There's going to be, and I'm not cussing, I'm saying reality, there's going to be hell to pay.
Well, I'll tell you what, and here's what we have to pay. We have to pay some bills, but before we do, I want to give you information, Eric, and if you're available, we have a phone caller on there. We want to honor the phone call. I do see our brother Timothy on Facebook has a question. Eric, if you can get that question prepared, and if you're ready, you can bring it on now, and if not, we can transition into what Craig said about hell to pay. Well, you have heaven to pay. I'm going to just say it straight up. If you're a Christian, you are to be paying heavenly cost of getting the gospel out. If you consider our broadcast as one of those mechanisms whereby you can give through us, not to us, then we want you to consider that. We'll give you information about it in a moment, but I want to emphasize that if you're going to a fellowship, if you are a believer and you should be going to a fellowship whereby like-minded saints with yourself are exercising their spiritual gifts whereby everybody can grow and they got bills to pay at that fellowship, call it a church, call it a Bible study, whatever it is, you need to support that thing. And we're asking you not to take the money that you will give to them and send it to us because maybe, you're like what we're doing. We appreciate you doing that. We ask for your prayers. So if you're going to make a choice between the money and the prayers, give us the prayers. Please pray for us individually and collectively as a ministry. But support your local fellowships. Churches are struggling, PCH, since COVID and even before. It's because people, I don't think, are seriously understanding the Bible. It's clear about you are to support the people who are helping you grow spiritually. You know, what is that expression the Bible have, or the scripture where it talks about, Craig, that a person is worthy of double pay or double duty, if I'm using the expression wrong, especially if they're teaching the word and doing it, I'm going to use the word skillfully, but doing it well. It talks about that. So it's like you're not trying to make the preacher rich. You're just trying to take care of how the word of God is being disseminated to you and you're growing. We ask you to consider Living by the Word Ministries, Bible Information Brokers, this presentation, and PCH. Can you let the people know how they can give, or not how, but the methods that we have whereby they can give?
Well, sure, Daryl. We are a faith-supported broadcast, and we don't have any salaries. None of us takes a salary. We don't have an overhead of a mortgage or what have you. We raise funds. Those funds go, for example, to pay for radio time, to maintain the website, and number one. Number two, to do the training of trainers, where we train pastors, missionaries, Christian leaders, and Bible translators in various parts of the world, for example, Nepal and India, Burma or Myanmar, and other places as well. Of course, we don't charge them, but those funds have to come from somewhere, the funds to go over there and teach them. By the way, nobody gets a salary. We don't take a salary for doing that. We do that because we believe in it. So if that resonates with you, and also as well taking care of the health insurance for the widow of our dear brother Brian, who went to be with the Lord not this September, but the previous year in September, went home to be with the Lord. If you believe in that, if you believe in what we're doing and are like-minded, then we would ask you prayerfully to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Financially, after you support your own fellowship, but as well, your prayers. And that's actually the more important. And sounds like we're just grandstanding, but that's not what we're trying to do. I believe if you don't give, if you pray, God will raise up others who will give. But the funds are used for ministry. That's what it's all about. Again, it has nothing to do, actually. I know you're referencing 1 Timothy 5, Daryl, but we're not talking about a salary because we don't take a salary. This has nothing to do with us being paid well. This has to do with raising funds for more ministry, the radio program, the materials we give out, the materials I take with me, and the things we supply to our brothers and sisters in various parts of the world that these things are not otherwise available. If you believe in that, that sounds good to you, then Daryl's going to tell you how you can stand with us prayerfully and financially.
And we really appreciate that, folks. And here's the very simple method to do it. If you're going to mail in anything to our post box office number, if you're going to have your bank do it by check, money order, cashier's check, whatever, if you're going to do it, the envelope must say Live by Word or Living by the Word on it, and then mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles 90009. One more time, the envelope must say Live by Word, so the post office can process the mail. Live by Word or Living by the Word, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles 90009. The other formats, you can go on our website at Bible Info Brokers and click the icon Support and Donate. And please follow the simple instructions there, and you can govern yourself accordingly. My favorite way, because I hate to pay fees on anything, I try to get 100% of the money I send to ministries, unless it just can't do it that way. But you can Zelle it to us. And the address, the email address that you use for Zelle, and those that do Zelle know how to do this, is simply livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com is the easy bees method to participate in giving if you're at all able for any ministry, ours in particular. And so we thank you for that in advance. He says something I wanted. Eric, I don't want to, not have Eric chime in. Eric, do we have any callers available at 888-995-5552 or anybody in the queue?
Yes.
I've got all kind of things to talk about.
So I wanted to ask in reference to time management, we've got two callers and a question on Facebook. If we could respectfully ask to dedicate the rest of the show to taking care of these questions, if you don't
That's
mind.
That's what we have you for. Bring them up.
Okay, so the first caller is Jose from Van Nuys. And Jose, let me bring him up here. Jose has a question on the Middle East, what's happening in the Middle East. Jose.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Jose. Yes, Jose. Go ahead, Jose.
Yeah, my question is, what's the group that when the God the Father said, kill all those people, women and children, and the Jewish did not eliminate them. And when God the Father said, from now on, they will be a bothering or like a snare on your shoes or something like that.
What you're talking about? Sound like you may be talking about Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel, because they rejected the king they had in the God. and I think some kind of bleeding of the, was it the sheep, Craig, that was making noise, whereby the prophet referenced that to Saul? Craig, why don't you take it from there?
Well, I don't need to get into that. There were nine nations, actually, that Israel was told to deal with. But I believe it was actually the Amorites, and it was a group of people that Saul was to deal with, and he didn't. And he let, I think it was Agag, he let him live. At any rate, I'm probably mixing the kings here, but the point is there was one. And the guy ended up actually trying to kill off the Jews. So at any rate, there's a reason that God told them to deal with these nations. And Ted earlier was bringing up some stuff that is important, that these nations were involved in bestiality and sexual abuse of children, child sacrifice, Chemosh Molech. One of them was a statue, and they'd heat it up until it glowed red hot and then place a baby in its arms. And, of course, the baby would be burnt to death. I mean, so there's just all kinds of stuff that people don't bring up, but they don't know about, or they just ignore because they don't want to talk about it. But yeah, there were a number of nations and people that Israel was told to deal with, and they didn't. And those nations ended up, literally trying to kill off Israel. Think of the book of Esther, right? And think of Purim. These were going to be harmed. But even when it wasn't a direct physical harm, and there are cases of that, they corrupted them. Israel got involved in the pagan worship, and God judged them for it.
Are those nations are still existing?
Well, many of them, because most of them Israel didn't deal with. So their descendants are still alive, yeah.
So maybe they are the one who's bothering the Jewish people? Because God,
I'm sorry, Jose, I'm having real trouble hearing you now.
It will bother you. It's just like a piece of Babel in your shoes or something like that. I'm not so sure about Bible thing.
I don't recall that, but I mean, the point is there are a number of ethnic groups that Israel never dealt with, and they've come to haunt Israel.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, Jose. Well, look, we thank you for your call.
You didn't quite ask this, but I do want to share something. There's a book, it's probably a definitive biography of Jerusalem. It's called Jerusalem, a biography. And this individual goes in and talks about, for example, most people don't know about this, that there was an uprising of Arab nations, Arabs against Israel in 1928, and they massacred thousands of Jews. Same thing in 1936. But you don't hear things like this. Now, I'm not saying, therefore, we got to go around killing everybody. That's not my point. But the point is, people think like, oh, we've just been peaceful and lived happily ever after, and it's just Israel causing the problems. Read a book like that, and or just look it up online about what happened to our Jewish friends in 1928 in the land of Israel. Of course, they weren't a nation again until 48. But the same thing in 1936, the massacring of Jews, the wholesale slaughter of people who are ethnically Jewish. I mean, these are things that we have to know about and think about.
Yeah, I agree on that. Is it wrong if I say then when God said, his son said, if this thing happened, look up and your salvation is at hand?
Well, these are signs of the time. They are signs that, you know, the coming of Christ,
I'm not enjoying was the killing. But
no, of course not.
I've been waiting for this. Look,
well, these are the things that are going to happen. These are the signs of the time that will happen for the second coming of Christ. And one of the things of humanity, I mean, I got to tell you, I have a son who plays football, okay? And the things I see even at a high school football game, well, I've seen it when he played, you know, basically Pop Warner, when they played with kids. I watch adults just go crazy and getting fist fights and that over a stupid little sports game. How much more when you're talking national and or other issues, people's true nature comes out, and their inhumanity and their foulness to one another. I mean, I see this in just simple little sports games, let alone something like when you're talking about territory or property or lives of individuals. Yeah.
Indeed. Jose, man, excellent call. Jose, excellent question. We really appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for calling in. All righty.
Thank you.
And Craig, thanks for validating what I said earlier about what is God's sport, if he was going to create a sport for mankind to play to teach him some lessons. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Eric, we have a lot of little static coming on. At least I hear the static. But the number of people can call is 888-995-5552 to get you in the queue. We only have about, I think, 20 minutes left in the broadcast.
Less than 20.
Yeah, so why don't you go ahead to the Facebook and let's bring those Facebook questions up and tell Dixie, I'm going to tell her now, we're live, but we're just not in the studio.
Yeah.
Go right ahead, Eric.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a question from our friend Timothy. Timothy is has a question on Numbers 13:33. Who are the cast of characters, and why does different versions of the Bible have different descriptions of what is happening in Numbers 13:33? Gentlemen, what do you say about that?
Yeah, you know, that's dealing with that Nephilim again, and I don't have a problem dealing with it again. We talked about it pretty much last week, but the part of Timothy's question, PCH, if you can address about different versions having different ways of saying it.
Well, I have to stop. People think it's like I have advanced notice. I just found out the passage just like everybody else right now.
Indeed.
So I need to go look it up.
Okay.
That's kind of funny. People think like I have advanced warning or notice.
Well, Craig, we just talked about all your degrees, man. It don't assume it's a lot. It has nothing to do with memory. Don't you memorize all this stuff?
Actually, learning is only partially memory. It's thinking.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Professor. But yeah, it's a note of that Numbers 13:33, and you got to get the context. And that was the thing I was, you know, PCH, I'm just marveling, man, that the world you live in, the world I live in, the world that our listeners are living in, I really want them to consider how they can apply God's word to their situation. Because I didn't even get into the things about the bus rides I've been taking back and forth and the conversations that go on and I've had with some of the people that I would engage, man. It's like a whole ministry in itself. So, Joy, keep doing what you're doing. I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing out there in the world that you live in. I was just giving a PCH.
So this is
13.
Yeah, I believe it's we're talking here the spies and coming back who were sent into the land to check it out, sent by Moses, and Joshua was one of them, and Caleb. But anyways, let's go to verse 26 for context and get into this. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here it is. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of the Anak. This is the called the Anakim. Okay, anyways. The Anakinites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. These are some of the nine groups that Jose was just asking about. And the Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Hivites. Anyways, the list goes on.
Skylights. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my
and all manner of lights. Any rate, it goes on and says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. It will get into the key text here in just a moment. They said the land was explored and devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same for them. Yeah, I mean, I don't ever recall saying that they all died out. The Nephilim these giants, and that's one of the views. There's four views, as I mentioned. One, it says that they're demonic half-breeds, and I said that's mythological. That's not biblical. That's occultic. The other view is that they were great men of renown, of either leadership and or of great size and stature, kind of like a Goliath. But certainly whatever they were, the fourth one is they were ungodly, and then Israel started to intermarry with them and then corrupted them. But so here they are, and they're not saying they're gods. They're just saying they're giant. They are giant people. Even to this day, there's groups like, for example, in Africa called the Nuer, N-U-E-R. They're giant. I mean, a short guy's like 6'5", 6'6". They're incredibly tall and big. I mean, they're just people, and there's whole family lines, but there are people groups that are large. It has nothing to do with them being demonic half-breeds or intermarrying with humans with demonic spirits, because there's no reason to believe that even could happen. That's mythology. These were... either it doesn't have to be just they were physically, you know, the prowess of their size, but their brains and bronze as well. They were great fighters. And of course, the context here, I'm sure he's asking for more than just that, but Israel was scared of them because they were such giant people. But God says, it's child's play. If I'm with you, don't worry about it.
You know, now, PCs, we only have about 3 minutes left. We got the 5 minute call about a minute or so ago. And so just real briefly, and then you can get into your closing.
Gentlemen,
different versions? Go ahead, Eric.
We have Ray has been holding on. Can we take him, or do we want to?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's bring Ray up.
I appreciate you stepping in.
Okay. Ray, you there?
I know God spoke to Moses, Joshua, and several others in the Old Testament. If we go, as we go further in time, who does the talking? Like in 20 years ago, in 2023, et cetera. I want your excellent answer to that one.
Craig, did you get the question? I didn't get it that clearly.
No, I'm afraid I didn't either. I'm having trouble hearing.
Eric,
I didn't hear what you said.
Go ahead, Ray, real quick.
Who does the talking now in the later times? Back in the time in the Old Testament, God spoke directly to Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, etc. Today,
yeah. I don't think anybody does it today, but it was Jesus. It was a Christophany, Ray, because Christ says as much. Remember in John 8, Jesus says to them, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. But remember, there were three beings that appeared to him, to Abraham, and one of them was called the Lord, and it's God's name. That's in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, so... that was Christ. So I would argue with Jeremiah, Moses, and the others, that would have been Jesus, or what we call Christophany, an appearance of Christ before his incarnation.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.